Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. And our children are dismissed. Well, happy anniversary to all of you. I don't know if you know it, but there's at least two anniversaries. I said this morning that there was two anniversaries, and then Lane and Gail DeMont Mullen told me that their anniversary was also this week. So there's at least three anniversaries, but I'm going to talk particularly about two. The first being, I don't know if you're aware of it, but our inaugural service was on January 8th at this time of the evening, 1 year ago. 1 year ago, we were gathering for the very first time, January 8th. So happy anniversary to all of you. I'm from the business world. That's where I was employed at one point for a few years, about eight. In the business world, you're taught an important statistic that within the first year, 95% of all startup businesses fail. So we beat the curve. We've already beaten the odds. I know we're not a true business, but we are an entity, a corporate entity, and unfortunately, churches probably have about the same track record. And we've done that. We've done that. So let the naysayers be silenced. Here we are a year afterwards. All the better. I think a round of applause is in order. Praise God. We are a newborn church. Still growing. I hopefully we're past the one-year-old infant stage, but we're definitely toddlers. And tonight I've given you a card that I'll explain in a little bit, but I want you to keep that close to you, that bright yellow card. But happy anniversary to all of you. Thank you for your faithfulness to those who have joined us since the inception. We're glad you guys are here. I see some folks that God has brought to us in the meantime. And so you weren't here on January 8th, but we're sure glad you're here on January 7th. 2007. So welcome to you guys as well. Well, I said there were two anniversaries. There's another anniversary. Happy anniversary to the light of Christ being given to the Gentile world. This Epiphany date, and we don't know exactly what day these magi, these wise men arrived from the east, bringing gifts, laying prostrate, it's prostate. We have a prostate, some of us do, but we lay prostrate. Thank you. They lie down in front of the Christ child. Oh, Lord. Way to start the new year. And worshiped him. But I want to tell you that the thing about this magi, these wise men coming, is everything in the world to do with the fulfillment of a prophecy. A prophecy that started way back with Abraham. When God called Abraham and said, I will make a nation out of you, Abraham, and out of you, you will be blessed. But you will also bless all the peoples of the earth. Right there in Genesis it says it. God was already putting in his mind that he had called this unique culture, the Jewish culture, but not only to be blessed, but also to be a blessing. Isaiah 49, verse 6 says, it's too small a thing that my Messiah, my anointed one, should just be the Savior of Israel. I will make him a light to the Gentiles. And so as those magi approached Jesus, whether he was still in the manger or whether he was back in Nazareth, lots of things we don't know about this story. But as they came to the Christ child, they were inaugurating the light of Christ coming to the Gentiles. And good thing for most of us, because as I look around, most of us are Gentiles. We're non-Jewish peoples. From various cultures and backgrounds. that those three wise men represented the start of. That the salvation of Christ would be proclaimed not just within the Jewish culture, but to the ends of the earth. You see, God didn't make the wise men convert to Judaism to be before the Christ child. As a matter of fact, the early church in Acts had to deal with this. And the way they came down, the way the Holy Spirit moved, was to say, no, God has not called all men to become monochrome in their cultural outlook, in other words, Jewish, to receive the Messiah. But God is blessing all cultures, all peoples, and drawing them all in. And that's pretty cool to me, because I kind of like people. I like different types of people. I like going new places and meeting people and seeing how God has given such a rainbow of cultures and tribes and tongues and peoples. And man, aren't we blessed? I mean, we've been blessed to be connected, heart connected to these Kenyan brothers and sisters through our Bishop James. God, once again, just as in the incarnation, when God said, it is good, humanity, it is good, I will make my son as you. So when he allows these wise men, these magi, to be the representatives of the Gentile world, he says, so it is good, the cultures of the world. And you too will receive my light. You too will have the opportunity to respond to my son, Jesus. The wise men mark the beginning, the start to the transformation that the light of Christ was to bring, not only to the Jewish people, but to the peoples of the whole earth. Do you know that today there are more Christians living than in all the centuries of time since the day Christ died on the cross? Christianity is not dying. The light of Christ is going forth to those who will receive. There are over 2 billion professing Christians in the world. One-third of the planet. Not bad when you start with 12 mealy-mouthed disciples a little over 2,000 years ago. So the Magi remind us of the transformation. They remind us that God is in the business of transforming cultures and peoples, some of whom are very foreign and different from us. I remember when I was in seminary, I had a chance to go with my friend Billy, who's a bit of a wild man, up to North Carolina. And he was a whitewater rafting guide on the Nantahala River, Broad River, French Broad, all those different rivers up in the North Carolina areas. I don't know if you know those rivers and stuff, but if you ever get a chance to spend time up there, and some of you have, you probably have noticed a really peculiar culture of people that work at these whitewater rafting outfits. Have you ever met any of these people? They're peculiar. They're different. They're unique. My friend Billy was one of them for a while, so I was sort of received in by them and allowed to live among them for a few days. They migrate. The summer times they spend in the Carolinas doing whitewater rafting trips and canoe trips and kayak trips. In the winter they migrate like a people group out to the ski slopes in the west. And they work at Salt Lake City and up in Colorado and all these places. And they work in lodges, and some of them they know how to ski, do ski stuff. And it's this crazy culture where they live migrating from summer to winter, and they marry within this little culture people group, and they have very different ways. They're very transient people, to say the least. And I remember thinking, as I was spending time with my friend Billy, I remember thinking, you know, what a unique group of people who I have no chance in the world of evangelizing, of sharing the light of Christ. Because I live in one place all the year, probably, and nowhere near North Carolina. But if someone went and lived in that whitewater rafting, migrating people group, as they are, then there might be a chance. And I pray, actually, it's funny, I 10 years ago, I guess this was, not quite 10 years ago, 7, 8 years ago, I still pray for those folks. I pray for those young 20-somethings and 30-somethings that live in this really very different kind of lifestyle. I pray that there will be missionaries that will be raised up, and probably there are, who minister within that people group. You see, when the Magi came, they were inaugurating this idea that, the light of Christ is not meant to stay in any particular culture or people or any geographical place, but that it's meant to be carried out even to the strangest in our perspective, peoples of the world. You go to places every day that if I walked in with a collar on, they'd walk the other way probably, or have me thrown out if there's security. And yet you live in those places day in and day out. I know, I used to work in the corporate world. You spend as many hours there as you do with your family, most of you. And yet, God has placed you there. Little lights of Christ set out among the world. The card I gave you tonight is some work that your vestry has done. If you're not an Anglican, vestry simply means lay board. The people who make sure there's enough money to keep the church going. And there is around here, praise God. But the vestry of our church set out last September to really begin to discern, okay, we're a church. It's clear we're going to make it that first year, but what sort of a church are we going to be? We tried to work through some things that had been kind of bubbling up in the congregation over the last year or two. And we came up with this vision, a community that exalts Jesus, that invites our neighbors, that proclaims the gospel locally and globally, that heals the sick, wounded, and brokenhearted, grows in faith and grace, and that sends servants of Christ into the world. That's a lot of stuff. It's an awful lot of stuff. That's a really, really big vision. But the thing I want to focus on for you tonight is that first of all, it's a process. And secondly, what the goal is. It's not to build a big Christian enclave, build a big fence around it, a big wall, cling to the last bastion of Christianity in the Western world and hope for the return of Christ. It's a vision to send servants of Christ out into the world. And the mission, and I'm still as confused as you are between what a vision and a mission are, but the mission says that we're to serve Christ, equip the church, be transforming the world. Now, I pull this card out because we want, as we begin our new year, we want to really preach through and teach through these values and mission and vision and really begin to say, what is it that God is calling us to be? And of course, it's a work in progress because unlike any other organization, we completely have to rely upon the word from upstairs, don't we? I mean, the Lord has to direct our path and say, yes, this is it. This is what I'm calling you to. But already it seems as if God is saying to us, and it's reflected in the end of the vision statement and our mission statement, that we are called to be a body of transformers, a transforming body. Not simply standing apart from culture, but going out into the culture and cultures that we've been blessed to be a part to bring about transformation. Not the Transformers like the movie and all that stuff. I see you guys that grew up with Transformer cartoons back there laughing. But although that might be useful at some point, so hang on to it. You see, I can move into your neighborhood maybe for some of you that may be true very soon, but I can move into your neighborhood and I can have loud, obnoxious children who can run around and we can set fire to things and we can make lots of noise and keep our yard up terribly, and we will affect you, but we're not going to transform your life. But if we move into your neighborhood and my kids are well behaved and they make friends with your kids and we begin to talk about churches and you begin to think about the things that are really important in your life, and maybe you go back to your own church or maybe you come here and before you know it, you're making different life decisions that are based upon seeking to please Christ in your life rather than whatever else you were running after, then you've been transformed. Too often it seems to me that the church is affecting the world, but not about transformation. And it excites me to think about our church seeing ourselves as a group of people who want to be about transforming the world. One of the things you don't have here that I'll share with you later on at some point is some goals that the vestry set up. And one of those goals I loved. It said that we hoped that as much as people are involved in ministries here at Servants, ushering and greeting, I keep using the wrong name, Kathy, forgive me, greeting and music ministry and children's ministry and youth ministry and all things we're doing, that as much as we're involved in ministry here, that there would be equal commitment to ministry outside of our organization, outside of our programs, outside of our meetings. And so what we want to say is that if you have an effective ministry going on out there, don't feel like you got to spend all your time in here. Be blessed in whatever it is you're doing out there. Teach us how to do it better. Help us to equip each other to go out. Bruce Jones back here is a great friend, and Bruce gave me an incredible opportunity that I haven't asked Bruce if I could share this. Is it okay if I share this, Bruce? But Bruce is the administrator of a nursing home, and some beautiful people work for him. And Bruce asked me before Christmas if I would come and talk about change, the pain of change, the struggles, the goods and the bads, and to bless his staff. And it was a neat time of sharing, and I don't know that I said anything too terribly profound, but it was a neat time of sharing. And the most important thing for me that I walked away, I don't know how Bruce feels, but as I walked away from it, was that it was the church leaving the building and being a part of transformation in the world. And something in me said, you know, that's what we need to be about more and more. Getting outside our buildings. Praise God, we don't own one. So that's easy. This body is wherever we are. But seeing ourselves as those who want to be about transforming. Well, this is going to be an ongoing work. We are not going to solve it all tonight. I'm not going to give you a four-step plan of how you go about transforming the world around you. It begins exactly where we began tonight. It begins with worship. It begins with powerful worship. It begins as the Magi began. You know that laying prostrate, right? Before Christ, the child, that was the sort of posture you took as you were before not a king, but a god. They laid completely humble. I don't know if they were kings, but they were men of high stature. And they laid themselves out before the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And they brought their gifts, whatever it was, whatever place of influence, whatever talent, resource, not necessarily to shuffle bulletins and work in the nursery, but to be useful to the king in taking this light of Christ out. Ultimately, the transformation of the world will come as others see Christ, encounter Him. See, we can feed orphans and we can build, youth centers. We can do all sorts of great things. But at the end of the day, if the people are better fed or better clothed or have more places to enjoy themselves and still they don't know Christ Himself, then they're not transformed. And so in everything, we are called to bear that light of Christ. But how to do that? That's the fun part. Because it's not monochrome. It's not formula. It's spontaneous movement of the Holy Spirit of God by a group of people committed to seeing transformation. My prayer is that we will be that group of people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.